So our gospel reading for Ash Wednesday comes from Matthew chapter 6. Over the last several weeks, we've been reading, learning, worshiping with the Sermon on the Mount, and this is part of that sermon, a collection of Jesus' teachings. Matthew 6, beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your heavenly Father. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your heavenly parent, who sees in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your heavenly parent who is in secret. And your heavenly parent who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for God knows what you need before you ask. And when you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have already received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your heavenly parent who is in secret. And God, who sees in secret, will reward you. So do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consume and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I made the comment on Sunday that some has struck me for the last several years as a bit ironic that this is always the reading for Ash Wednesday, do not practice your piety before others, when it's the one time of year that millions of Christians walk out in the world with a symbol on them of their piety, of their faith. So I've been wrestling with that. What does that mean? Well, how does that fit together? This afternoon, again as I did last year, I was part of an offering at Muller Chapel at Ithaca College, times when students, staff were offered, if they wished, to come receive ashes. It's very moving to be sitting there by the fireplace in Muller Chapel, middle early afternoon from 2 to 3:30, and have student after student after student, 25 at least, showing up. Are you doing ashes? One of the last ones, made me laugh. He came in, "Can I still get ashes?" He's like, I really didn't even know it was Ash Wednesday till I saw somebody and my Catholic guilt was getting ready to kick me in the tush. So maybe there is some measure of feeling like you needed to do it because you need to make sure you do it. But what I feel more is that there is this seeking, this longing for connection. That something about the physical symbol, the touch of somebody's hand on their foreheads with the ashes, it's that thing about embodied spirituality, right? It's something tangible, a way to express that desire, that seeking to know God's Spirit, to be connected. I also mentioned on Sunday what I've been reading about this Asbury University in Kentucky, Wesleyan Connection Christian University, where this revival, awakening has been happening, and thousands of people worshiping in the chapel nonstop since February 8th. Today I read that they're actually moving away from having the chapel open 24/7. The president of the university is saying they're going to limit who can be in the chapel to students and high school and college age students and set a few more parameters. But he's also encouraging other places to start opening up for places of this kind of worship. But what struck me was one thing I saw on Facebook shared by a friend, you know, two or three people down the line, a young adult who had been there, talking about how different revivals and awakenings over Christian history have had different emphases, different spirits to them, different flavors, same spirit. Different flavors. And he talked about that this experience, what's happening at Asbury, there's this deep peacefulness about it. It's not big and charismatic. It's not flamboyant. I think there's something for, you know, our times, people in this anxious, fear-driven time seeking peacefulness. And that's what people are experiencing. It's very quiet. And that longing to be connecting with other people in a very gentle, warm, compassionate way and connecting with God. And that's what people are experiencing there. Again, a manifestation of people's seeking God's presence. They said there were 20,000 people there last weekend. Part of why the president's saying we can't handle it all here anymore. But that sense of longing. And we talked here on Sunday about what are things we long for in our lives as we enter into Lent. I think there's something in what Jesus is saying, which is about that the outward show will never get us there, right? That the seeking has to be deep in our hearts. And that God's Spirit, as we open ourselves, as we seek, that it's those deepest places in our hearts that long for God's presence. And that God will reward us. I mean, even that language kind of trips me up. Like, what does that mean? The Gospel of Thomas version of seek ye first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness from the Sermon on the Mount, is that those who seek will find, and when they find, they will be disturbed. And then as they're disturbed, they will be astonished. And they will become, I think the language is ruler of all. There is something about seeking that can be disturbing, right? Knowing, having an experience of God's Spirit unmask us. It can reveal the deepest and hidden places of our hearts, the parts of ourselves we ourselves may not want to know. And yet, that is where we learn and grow and become more our true selves. So I think the ashes on our foreheads are not about showing off our piety. They're about saying, I need God. In the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of our limitations, in the midst of our giftedness, in the midst of all of what it means to be human, these fearfully and wonderfully made bodies that are also fragile and limited, that we need in our bodies, on our bodies, on our spirits, the marks of God's presence. And so we seek and long to find God in new ways, to be restored to the joy of our salvation. For those of you, and I'm not sure how many in this group, It reminded me of my experience as a Southern Baptist, walking up, going forward in a worship service. It's not about showing off. It's admitting your need and opening yourself. I think the ashes are the same kind of action. So we are invited, just as we are, to come to God and know that in the mark, in the receiving, in the dust and the ashes is also the gift that we are totally, fully loved. This God's compassion will never fail us. There is nothing about us that God does not already know and that God does not already bless. So, these ashes are the gifts of God, the mark of the cross, God's love revealed in the brokenness of human life. Thanks be to God.